Hello, gay men and everyone else. And I'm
citizens,
people, listeners. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I'm John Durler.
I'm Brian James.
Welcome.
How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes.
We are in the holidays. I'm going to buy Christmas trees today after the show.
And you're working the tree lot, too.
I am working. I'm working the tree lot. Again, listeners, if you have any Rotary clubs in your neighborhood and you want to do some good, join Rotary. I'm telling you.
All right.
It is
great. I'm not a Rotary member.
What was great is, well, internationally, we were ones that really helped eradicate polio. We're not finished yet, but we're almost there. And then we also build wells in other countries for water, but we also give back into the communities for a women's shelter and all of that. So all the money that comes in for the trees, if you're in LA, come over and buy your tree on Larchmont, just south of Melrose. We give back, after we pay all the expenses, 100% of that that's left over is donated back internationally and locally. So it's a wonderful organization. Nice. I love being there.
John's going to be dressed as a lumberjack. He's going to load your tree up on your
car. I'll load your tree up, all right.
Yeah, he'll load your tree up for you. No, my God, the butterball thing. Sorry.
What butterball?
Talk about loading something up.
Oh, the butterball. The butterball turkey?
No, yeah, listen. You hear about that?
No. Wow. I did see it when I was in high school. I saw a porn.
All right. Well, it's probably along the same lines as Butterball, but okay. So let me ask you, John, because I bought a fake tree probably 5 years ago. It's a beautiful fake tree, but how much does a nice tree go for at a freaking lot now? $150, $160, $175?
Nope. It depends what kind of tree.
You're getting
a Douglas fir,
yes.
Or you're getting... Yeah. You know, Douglas fir is great, because Douglas fir, I think, smells the strongest versus the other one. Shit, I can't remember the name.
Noble fir.
Yeah, noble firs, they're the ones that look like the Christmas tree-ish thing that have stakes.
I like the noble fir. I guess I don't like a Douglas fir. I like the ones that the branches are spread out and they're sturdy branches you can hang...
Yeah, that's your ornament. That's your noble fir. And they do smell, but not as strong as your Douglas fir.
Well, how much is a tree at
you? Depending on what strong. 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet.
I think
9 feet. The Douglas fir is cheaper. And I think 9 is going to be, I don't know, 125.
Yeah.
125, 150.
The last tree I bought was probably 150, 75 bucks. And I'm like... I'm going to go all out. I'm going to buy a nice fake tree. And it's 5 years in and it still looks good.
You know what? I bought a fake tree.
All right.
I did for my house. The boys and their mom, they still buy the real one. But last year was the first time that I went. Because it's gotten so expensive. And our trees and even our pumpkins got expensive this year for Halloween because of fuel cost. And just everything is so high now. And having a live tree, you know. Buying that much, you know, I'm going to get one for the office here, but I only get like a 4 foot because I put it on the table and it's right in the window. It's nice. But the smell, I love the smell.
I like the smell too, but you can get the pine cones from Trader Joe's and they'll make your smell.
Oh, they have pine cones? Okay. This is a great season.
It's yes. So with the holidays coming along, I'm not going to mention who this person is, but you know, we have a listener that I told you in a prior podcast who sends me messages, and he is struggling so much right now, and I feel so much for him. He is in a life where he feels he cannot come out.
Right.
It could be dangerous for him to come out.
Okay.
He does not hang around. I guess he hangs around very dangerous people. So he is all alone. And I'm sure he's not the only listener that's out there closeted. Mm-hmm. And doesn't feel like they have a friend or a family member that they can talk to. So, you know, I broke the golden rule because early on you told me, don't give out your phone number. Don't let them write in the podcast or whatever. And
Because one of the reasons why I say it, it's just not, I'm not above that at all, listeners. The thing of it is, you're going to get so many people calling you,
I do.
which is, yeah. I mean, listen, that's fine. That's fine if you want to go that route, and that's fine. I just feel that, for me, I just come and talk and share my experience, and because I'm not going to be able to help every single person, but at least something I say or something I don't say may help somebody.
You're helping them on here. We're helping them every day. We've said this in prior episodes. We're not therapists, so we're not here giving you any professional advice. People write into the show, I'll write
We
back
learn
to
from
them.
them too, and that's
Thank
the other thing
you.
that we love about this is that we're I know nothing. I know nothing. I was a special ed growing up. I was a special ed. I was in all the classes, and that's another story I'll tell you later. But we are here to help in a capacity, but also people writing this back helps us, and we're able to share, just like the story you're talking about right now. We're able to share that story. So don't get me wrong, we want you to write in and everything, and so because when you write in, we're able to share that with people, and others can identify with that. So basically, we're all trying to help each other, and I think that's that's my mission here is to, share my story, give it back. But there's no way that I couldn't manage, if everyone called me or whatever.
I know.
I just couldn't, because,
You're busy. You got 10 things going on at the same
I
time.
do. I got to get going here in a minute. But no, but it's true. So it's sweet. But you told me a little bit about this guy, and you didn't mention what kind of club he's in. So let's not mention that at all. But he's in a badass club. And
Organization.
my dad was in one of those.
Oh, was he? Oh, you did share this. Yes, you did. You did share this.
Anyway.
I thought your dad was a cowboy, but then you shared.
No, that was my mom's boyfriend was kind of, anyway, badass club. But that's the whole thing. It's the macho thing. It's the macho thing. And I'm just curious, in that badass club, how many others are at least bi or gay and just holding
And
it,
closeted.
closeted it? And this guy, he had the courage. And I don't want to say courage because people that are not, I don't want to put down anybody, because if you're not out, that means you don't have courage. You have courage. But he had whatever,
The calling.
the calling to
You
tell his
the time,
wife, to tell his wife. And to, I mean, that is a
And it's
huge.
open.
And so if you're listening, guy who we're talking about, that's huge, man. And you need to make, you need to celebrate that. And he told his kid or kids, that right there is one of the biggest steps.
But now he's sitting there, and other listeners, we have a private Facebook group or page, and if any of our listeners want to join that page, share their stories, go on there and just get support from other men. There's a
What
lot
you're
of
talking about,
trust there.
world the
Well,
which one are you
so
talking?
there's Gay Fathers Worldwide.
Gay Father's
We
World.
also have Coming Inside Out has its own private Facebook page.
Am I a member?
You're a member. I signed you up with your phone while we were here together because I knew that this would happen, and I also made you a moderator, so you get notifications when people want to join the group.
I don't get notifications.
You?
No, I don't.
Well, I think you should. But anyways,
I don't.
we have a private Facebook group, and if people want to log into our Coming Inside Out Facebook page, post on there, get support on there.
It's a
John,
great
the font
summer.
is so big on your phone. Listen, I never have to worry about anybody looking over my shoulder and reading my text. My font is small. Yours, you have some big font on there, John.
They all like that big font.
So through this is for our listeners, and this is kind of what I shared with this gentleman. You and I belong to the same book club, which is Project 369,
Love that.
an
Love it.
amazing book.
Love it.
There's three of them out right now, and they're having a Black Friday sale, but I'm not promoting them. Within that book, There's you can like do daily affirmations.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
set your mindset for the day. I have a wonderful life. I'm surrounded by positivity, peace, and harmony. I am powerful beyond measure and blessed beyond belief. I'm grateful for all that is and inspired by all that will be. I love my life and all aspects of it. I give myself full permission to be who I desire to be.
I like that. So is that your affirmations that you write?
No, that's one of the, it's under I Am Enthusiastic, and that's what's on the page for I Am Enthusiastic.
Well, what is struggling?
Well, if for anybody who's struggling, that I tell.
Oh, I see. If you're struggling, yeah. Read this.
Yeah, it's just like a daily affirmation of something. There are times where I am so overwhelmed and I'm saturated in the negativity and I just stop myself and I think, what if the polar opposite happened? Yeah. What if I'm sitting here in all of this negativity and the exact opposite happened?
Yeah.
And then I move myself into the exact opposite and it shifts my mindset so much. So
here is another thing I'm going to look up and bring back. So what was the first one? Generational. I'm going to bring generational, you know, from millennials and all that. How many people are there are in that generation? And then negative thoughts, because I'm going to bring back one of my coaches for real estate told me, he goes, listen, you have 65,000 65,000 thoughts per day. And most of them are negative.
Yeah.
That you're telling yourself.
Yes.
So subconsciously, I'm telling myself, and maybe we all do that. And, you know, you have to push it back with these affirmations. Yeah. Because I can catch myself, even if you're talking.
Yes.
Oh, well, so actually, every time you talk, I just kind of doze off. But anyway.
Yeah. Me. Yes, he does.
No, I'm kidding. But no, it's talking about listening. Let's talk about listening, because I never listened in my special ed class. I was always daydreaming. I was dreaming. I was a dreamer.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's good to be a dreamer.
It's good to be a dreamer. However, it's really, if you can master listening, you know, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's really crazy. So those are the two things I'm going to bring back.
All right. And I'm going to go completely off topic here, but you talked about dreaming. And, you know, in this book, you build a life that you want to live. Right. You first vision for it. You build it in your mind.
Yeah.
And then it comes, then it rolls out. I found out that I wasn't, some of the things I thought I was visioning for were desires. Does that make sense to you?
Give me an example.
Well, I have a desire to meet a man and to be with a man. That's a desire.
Okay.
In order for that desire to be a vision or a dream or come to reality, it has to have four components. So it has to give me life. It has to, whatever the four components are. But anyways, there has to be structure and good in it, and there has to be life. It has to cause you to grow.
Right.
And so I have been visioning to meet a man.
You did. Your neighbor.
My neighbor. God. Yes. Well, no, a single man.
Okay, but you did. But see, that
is true. You gotta put a lot.
You gotta get specificity.
More specific. Yes.
Yes. But you did. I mean, you're manifesting that. And look, one just moved in. What a fate.
Two. This year. Two.
Two.
Three.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So you're a gay man, and you've got them moving into an area that there's not many of them there. Wow. What if something makes a turn, though, that you and this guy get?
You never know.
You never know. You never know.
Miracles happen.
But I love the 369 project.
Me too.
Because the other thing that I like about it is not only you write your affirmations, you say your affirmations, but then they want you to feel that you have accomplished those affirmations.
You live as though
in the feeling that you you have to go all the way through it.
Yeah.
Not just, I want this, I'm going to visualize this. No, you need to accept it now and feel the feeling of you getting it.
Yeah. And if you are in the closet and you're trying to work yourself out of the closet, that book is amazing because you can put yourself in a place where you're visualizing where you want to be.
Right.
Rather than where you're at.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know,
thank you for that. Absolutely. No, I appreciate you because I didn't know about that book.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it.
And, you know, I put that book to the test with our podcast because I love this podcast so much. And I want something to happen with this podcast. And I kind of wanted it instantaneously. It's like, okay, we're going to do this podcast. And I want this podcast to be what I want it to be. Well, also in that book, never give up on your dream just because it takes longer than you expected to accomplish it. That time is going to pass anyways.
So, it is. And, you know, instant fame, instant
gratification
is, it just dies as fast as it comes in.
Okay.
I think what we all work very hard. You have to work hard for it to pay off, but you learn a lot of things along the way that you can sustain that greatness.
Yes.
I think getting greatness so fast, oh my God, that's just the worst thing that you can do because you have to struggle in order to appreciate it.
All right. I feel like my sexuality has been a struggle my entire life. I was successful in the insurance industry for 26 years. I felt like that was a struggle, you know, my entire 26 years. I feel like I've struggled at so many things. And when I first started doing real estate, I went to a seminar and it was a panel and they had four people on the panel and then they took a break and they brought four people up, took a break, whatever. One of the first panels they had, they invite this very attractive woman. She gets up there and she's just like all dressed up and diamonds and makeup and hair and all this shit. Her and her husband go on this Mexican vacation. Mm. She was studying for the real estate exam. She hadn't even become a realtor yet.
Yeah.
She's just studying for the exam. This woman or man walks over to her and he's like, hey, you know, I'm so admirable. Here you're on vacation. You look like you're working so hard. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm studying for the real estate exam. And he's like, oh, my wife and I are looking for a house. What area? And she tells him the area that they're in. Like, oh, that's where we're looking. She ends up selling them a $15 million house. I actually looked it up, so it was real. She sold them a $15 million house. And when they move in, the house next door becomes available and they reach out to her and they tell her they want to buy that one too. Her first two real estate transactions were close to $30 million.
Yeah.
I have bloody knuckles from the amount of work that I do to sell a piece of property.
But she knows not nothing. She has no clue what she is doing.
No.
I've been in this business for 25 years. And that is wonderful. That came to her probably some karma back in the day. And she needed that money. Maybe, but who knows? And that's fine. But let me tell you something. In real estate, you're learning something every day. Oh, but the first 100%. 3 years, your first 3 years, you're trying to learn all these contracts because they're so thick. It's like 5 inches thick of contracts.
And they're changing.
And they're changing all the time. She can study, and that's great. But let me tell you, you take the test, but then there is a three-year learning curve.
Yes.
And that happened to an agent that started out with me that, you know, her first deal was $4 million.
Yeah.
And here I'm on the phones, and I'm like, oh. But let me tell you something. Once you start getting envy of someone else, you have lost. You've lost it. You've lost it. Do not be envious of someone else because your biggest competition is yourself.
Yes.
My biggest competition is myself. And people are like, oh, you can't take over that neighborhood. Such and such has always been in that neighborhood. Well, not anymore because I'm door knocking and that's what I did. And I worked my ass off and still created a great business, but still have a target on my back because there's so much jealousy. It's ridiculous. And once you let go of that, that you're just setting it's such a relief of, and then if I start getting jealous of someone, I have to pull back and like, wait, what am I doing wrong? And so it's a great barometer. It really is. When you start getting jealous of someone,
yes,
start looking in. And well, when you're like, when
it triggers something in you, it's about you. It's not about them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I could feel the steam coming off of you because you got that 30.
Well, yeah.
And you know,
which, what? Listen, good for her. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I
was lottery. She won the lottery.
Good for you. Good for you. I hear a lot of those stories.
But everyone's struggling. I mean, that's the whole thing. Right now, I mean, there's so many people struggling. And let me tell you, you know, for my business, I've been looking, you know, because we always look at pillars of growth of, well, do I look at expired listings or do I look at new families that need a home or do I look for investors or do I door knock or what have you? But my other pillar of lead generation is foreclosures. And that's sad. Let me tell you right now, there are so many people that are in foreclosure.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And we want to be able to give them a solution because there's like four or five solutions you can do. But I just say that because, you know, we want material things or we want to just be able to pay our bills. But there's other things that I look at, like this friend of mine that we took to Vegas to watch the Raiders game, he got some type of bacteria infection when he was in Japan in Rotary, giving back, you know, on a trip. And they had to amputate his toes. Oh, then they had to amputate his foot. Then they had to amputate his leg. It was a disease that he got, or bacteria that was really bad. And here, you know, he's in his 60s, a little overweight, and to manage to walk with a prosthetic and go and do it really made me be thankful of what I have and our health. And so when we start going into, or when I do, let me just say me, when I start going into the thought of lack of material things, I have to slap myself in the head and say, get your ass back down to the ground and be thankful for your health and what you have.
Yeah. You just wake up and be thankful that you woke up.
That you woke up. Because let me tell you something. You can always go make more money or make a living by doing something and thinking of something. But that quick bullshit stuff doesn't last. It just doesn't last. At least that's my opinion.
Wow. Well, so, you know, we gotta rope a little gayness into this.
Yeah, right.
Are there any...
That was my straight talk.
Any gay real estate rivals in your backyard that can...
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is. There's, you know, I mean, a lot of gay men that are real estate agents.
Jeff Lewis lives very close to here.
Yeah, he does. I showed him a lot of property. I showed him property in the beginning. Yeah. But I haven't been in touch with him, but I showed him a lot of property.
He lives right down the close by.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so we are more than our circumstances, right? We are spiritual beings in a human body. So we think that we have so much going on. Well, that's our physical part of us. We have a spiritual part of us also because we're not here. You know, you can't breathe on your own. You can't make your heart beat on your own. So there's a spiritual component to you. So if you are struggling, you are more than your current circumstances. This too shall pass.
And get better. It really will.
Hey, do you want to take a minute and read? We got a new post on YouTube. A new listener. A new listener wrote in on this page.
Okay.
And for episode 20.
Episode 27.
He wrote this.
Okay. So our podcast was episode 27. Yeah. It says, thank you, algorithm gods. Ha ha. Love the podcast. As a big sports guy and by father, congrats on the Dodgers win. P.S. The Yankees player you might have seen with the big old keister was probably Stanton.
Huh? I looked him up. Yeah. He does have a big keister. Is it Mike Stanton?
Gorgeous. Right? That guy is obvious. He got up there with that big old peach ass, sticking that peach ass out to hit the ball. I mean, it was a I mean, yeah.
I looked him up as soon as I got this post. I'm like, oh, I don't know who that is. Let me look him up. But yeah, he does have a nice peach ass, is what you call it. A
big old peach.
Peach. It's a big old peach.
I mean, he's very handsome. I mean, he does look like a football. He's really big.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can be anything now and be in sports. It doesn't matter.
And that was from the outsports.com. Remember a couple episodes ago, I told you guys to go on that website, Outsports. Yeah.
And this guy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I don't want to say his.
No.
Well, you know who you are. I hope you're listening to golf. So.
Algorithm gods.
Thank you for writing that in because, yeah, he did have a big old paper.
That's funny. Oh my God. And this is what I want to bring up to you.
Yeah.
Because I have not experienced this yet. I want to find out if you've experienced this. I was on TikTok. I'm like scrolling, and they have this gay wedding video pops up with these two very attractive men. And they were slow dancing with each other. Have you slow danced with another man before?
Oh, my God.
I want to slow dance with another man. I think that would be so, I don't know. That sounds so healing to me.
I don't just know.
Holding each other and slow dancing on the dance floor, right?
No.
I find myself a big cowboy to do that with.
You know, and I love dancing.
I do. You?
Oh, I'm good dancing.
Are you a slow dancer or a rapper? Or
I can break
dancing?
Country and Western dance.
Oh,
I right. like the country and Western dance.
What's that called? Line dancing?
Well, no, fuck that. I hate line dancing.
That's not fuck country that. Dancing? Is not line
dancing?
No. Oh, I thought it was.
I mean, No, like two steps or waltzing, you know?
Oh, a waltz.
A waltz right. is great. Yeah. But a two step is a
box step,
one step. That's not a box step, but it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Well, that's a waltz.
Whatever that's called.
One step. I forgot how that was. But anyway, I was a bouncer at a country western bar. In fact, it was the bar that they shot, Thelma and Louise. So Thelma and Louise, if you watch that movie with Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis, it was in Long Beach. It was called The Silver Bullet. And that's when, I don't know if you saw the movie, but the guy is like trying to hit on Gina and he ends up trying to rape her. And then Susan Sarandon comes out and fucking blows his head off. It was great. That was the place that I was a bouncer. And that was
Long Beach, California.
Long Beach, California. I was in the Navy there, and then I became a bouncer over there because I love country western. I just love it and love the live music of it. And so I got a job there, and it was great. But I loved dancing. I would dance, and I haven't danced so long. And then like salsa, salsa's just some hot shit. It is fun, but. You bring up a very good point because it was always women I was dancing with.
Did you answer my question? Have you danced with
a man before? I have not. I have not danced with a man before.
Oh, you've never danced with a man
before? I've never danced with a man before. I don't think. If I've danced with you before,
maybe at like the Abbey, like when there's 300 people.
Well, you're just dancing. Yeah. But to dance some type of style or slow dancing, no.
All right. I look forward to slow dancing with a man.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my list of to-dos when I find somebody.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, you know, when men are slow dancing with women, you know, I called it, you know, polishing my belt buckle, you know, sliding it on her. You know,
all right. Isn't that called grinding?
Well, it's grinding. No, I call it polishing the belt buckle. But with two men, you know, you got your dongs right there, and they're pushing up against
all right, them. Rubbing against
that, is that what you want?
I just thought the sweetness.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I'm sorry, I go right to the
side. That's all right. I didn't even think about my dong rubbing up against
me. Well, there's two men.
Dong, that's so true.
Two men with a dong. That's
true.
You're going to rub it on it.
Yeah. I guess a woman rubs her breasts on you, you rub your
dong. Well, that, yeah. I mean, you get it going. And then you know, the baseball player with big peach ass comes out and starts getting the quirk. And
Do I want to twerk with another man?
You know, but no dance. You know, okay, so that you bring up a great point, like, and I may have mentioned this before, but, you know, it seemed like the affection, because you're talking about affection.
Intimacy.
Intimacy. Where, you know, I don't really have the intimacy with men. And in the beginning, it was.
Do you look for that, or you like more of what's called a hookup?
The hookup. But, you know, there was a transition of like, okay, you go through a whore phase. Mm-hmm. You go through a whore phase. But then it's like, well, oh, I can suck dick, or he can suck my dick, but I won't hold his hand, or I won't kiss him.
Oh, you won't kiss him,
man. Well, that was
then.
Like, oh, no, I could never do that. It was just more of the sexual act of it. And, you know, some people think that that's not gay. You know, it's just a, you know, that's a prison, like the prison stuff and stuff. So that was a phase that I was going through. And then it was like, oh, wow. You know, because I met this guy at one of these places here in L.A. And, you know, we were in the pool and hugging and just kind of being intimate. Mm-hmm. No fucking or anything, but just, and it was nice. It was so nice. You know, so having the intimacy or the touch or the feel of someone and not having the sex, I mean, that's the basics, I think, of love. It's the basics of intimacy.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, I'm now coming to that where I'm okay with it. So hearing you say dance with a man, what the fuck, are you gay?
Yeah.
You know, that's the first thing. Yeah, we are. So, you know, that I'm just talking about how I registered it and how that was part of my compartmentalization and pushing things down is what for me was, oh, well, no, I'm not going to be intimate, but I just want to, you know, get off. And then I allowed myself to really be who I am. And then came the intimacy part. Does that make sense?
It does. I haven't gotten to any of that yet. You know, I met a guy who didn't want to kiss. We were just going back and forth. And I think that's part of maybe the reason why is if you don't kiss a man and you just suck each other's dicks, they're not gay. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Right.
I want a bond. I want intimacy with a man.
I think that's sweet.
And then ultimately something. All right. All right, well, you got to put that on your list, too. Maybe the next time we go out as a group, well, they never play slow music.
Well, exactly. That was what I was going to say. No. Fucking Abby, they never play
slow music. No, they don't play slow music.
It's
all right. Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up one more thing, and I know I'm bouncing around, but I had all these thoughts over the last week.
There goes a tree.
Oh, there goes one of your trees. This was through Motivation Hub. It's on YouTube. It's a channel, Motivation Hub.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I have found myself during my coming out process since COVID the last 4 years. In that dark room, you are, what did I say? In that dark room is who you are. But in that dark room is where you have to create another human being that walks out of that dark room. So I have spent, this hit me so hard, and if it doesn't make a lot of sense, and maybe I jotted it down a little weird, but I have been in this dark space. I shared with you I've been in a dark space. Yeah. I'm in this dark room, and in this dark room, I keep getting broken down more and more and more. It's just like, just when I think I couldn't get any lower or any sadder or any, you know, just more in touch with my feelings, like the floor drops out and I drop to this new level and it just feels darker and lonelier and it just...
It's harder to climb out.
Harder to climb out, but it's in that dark room that you create the human being that emerges.
Right.
And I feel like in the last couple of weeks, I'm finally like emerging.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
Because it's been
tough.
Shitty time for me since my son went.
Well, 24 was a very tough year. For me, it was a tough year. It was a tough year for you.
It was. You know, I didn't work a lot. I kind of abandoned myself and my business, and I kind of, you know, went into this dark room and kind of hid out.
You have to go in there. I think you have to do it. You have to, because you can only ignore it for so long, and then it overcomes you, I feel. And then, because I've gone through a lot of depression this year. I've never been this depressed in my whole life since 2024. And on top of just being depressed, there was just all of these more obstacles that came my way during that time.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're, you know, because that's, you're being so honest. And Brian, you probably helped so many more people by sharing that because it was. I was worried about you. And, you know, you gave me a directive of what you wanted me not to do. And I respected that. But I still worried. And I'm really happy that you can share this, because this is very, very important that I think a lot of our listeners are going through, because they haven't come out to themselves. They haven't come out to their family. And that's another part of depression. Even though think about this, you're a perfect example. You've already come out. You've already done all that. You've done that. But yet you spiraled. You spiraled
twice.
And I think, one, you told me that one of your therapists said, look, get Project 369. Yeah. And you said that really turned you around. Yes. But after it turned you around, you went back down.
I did.
You went back down.
So that book keeps me at a very high vibration, keeps me positive, keeps me moving forward. And at the exact same time, I have all of that amazement going on. I'm so fucking lonely. I'm so lonely. I want somebody in my life. And having somebody in my life isn't going to fix me, isn't going to make anything, whatever. It's not a magic pill. But I want somebody in my life, and I don't have that. So I could be out. Like, I'm a perfect example. We can go out. We can go to Palm Springs. We can have a great time. We can all hang out and laugh and all this stuff. I get in my car. Yeah. And I drive home by myself.
Right, because you have nobody to talk shit about, too. Like, I love that, because, you know, having a partner, you just, you know, you go party, you have fun, and then you gossip all the way home.
You talk shit
about anybody, or you talk people up or whatever. You're able to share your opinion. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. I totally get that.
But like from the last episode, when you went to Agape, you said Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith said you change your DNA.
That's
what you're doing in this dark room, is you're changing your DNA and you're emerging as somebody
I think so. Different. I really do. I think, and we're ever changing. That's the whole thing. We're always, I believe.
You know, I find that it's so easy to abandon myself. And when I abandon myself, I can literally go freaking months. I can really ride that fucking train.
What train is that?
The abandoned
depression.
Yes. And I, you know, like you said, how many negative thoughts a person has every day or every minute or whatever like that. I can just saturate myself and live in that shit. Mm-hmm. And there's other people out there, you know, maybe they're have not been fortunate enough, but I have been fortunate enough that I haven't had to run out and, you know, bang on doors and for work or whatever like that. But I'm getting to a point where I feel like I've fucking screwed myself over financially, and I'm 55 years old, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
I think that's a motivation. I think that just motivates you, because it's part of that. You're going to have successful years. You're going to not have as successful years, but it's about, and I know I'm really going off of the gay thing here, but maybe not. It's about managing money and knowing your income. Always know your accounting. And I'm a perfect example. I can make a shitload of money, but to manage it, and that's part of what I'm doing now, of changing my DNA. Yeah. Is knowing my numbers. Know your numbers, meaning know what money's coming in, what's going out. And I used to have other people do that for me. That's the worst fucking thing to do. That's the worst thing to do. And so, and I remember there's an algebra teacher in Long Beach. I forgot what his name was, but anyway, he was cool as shit. He goes, numbers don't lie. Numbers will not lie to you. Your fucking partners will lie to you.
No.
But numbers will not lie. And that's true. And so I kind of like was, you know, after Dr. Beckwith today, and I'm like, I'm changing my DNA with accounting.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm excited about that. But you know, I love that you shared that, because it's we all get into it. I've never been depressed in my life. And so this is learning, and, you know, really being able to be empathetic to other people.
Yes.
I that think this going through.
Yes. I think that is part of what brought me to this point, is it allows me to have empathy for other people.
Yeah.
Because there's people a lot worse off than me.
Yeah.
And I sit home crying because I'm lonely.
Oh.
That's all right.
I'm sorry to hear
that. That's all right. I'm gonna go be a mannequin. I'm gonna slow dance with them. I'm gonna dress them up, dress my mannequin up in men's clothes,
you know,
and slow
dance with them. There's a dance club here, and it's a Mexican dance club.
A gay Mexican dance club.
And there's men dancing with men, country western.
Slow dancing?
Yeah. Yes. We should go.
Oh, you wanna
I'll make go with you.
A boys outing?
Well. Why not?
We should. Oh, that's so funny. All right, let's do that.
I think
we'll get a couple other guys to go with us. Yeah,
that's fine.
From our group and go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Next episode.
I can't remember the name of the place. I can't.
Gay dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mexican dancing. That's okay. I'll just slow dance.
Check it out. Well, everyone, when is this going to drop? When are we dropping?
Right before Christmas. I think this is like 2 weeks out.
So we just definitely want to wish everyone a happy holiday.
Yeah, we'll be back before
Christmas. We'll be back before then. But, you know, this is the time of year that people do get depressed, or if they're lonely and everything. So I hope, you know, we made you smile a little bit. Hope we made you laugh. And hopefully we made you cry a little bit, too. But I love doing this.
Me too.
I'm so glad we're doing this, and I enjoy it. So thanks for your hard work on
this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, you guys.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.